I want to refer to five short passages of scripture. Firstly, in Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Isaiah 7 verse 14. Therefore will the Lord himself give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son and call his name Emmanuel. And then in chapter 35 of Isaiah. Isaiah 35 and verse 4. Say to them that are of timid heart, be strong, fear not. Behold your God, vengeance cometh, the recompense of God. He will come himself and save you. And then in Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 1, in verse 4, or partway verse 3. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, so that he should deliver us out of the present evil world, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory to the ages of ages. Amen. First Thessalonians chapter 4, and verse 16. For the Lord himself, with an assembling shout, with archangel's voice, and with trump of God, shall descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, the living who remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall be always with the Lord. And finally, just in Revelation 21 and verse 3, and I heard a loud voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall tabernacle with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, their God. The gospel is an intensely personal message. It's to everyone, to whosoever will. And not only is it personal to you, but it's personal to God. References I've read speak about himself. It's not some distant person that we're presenting as Saviour, as God. It's someone who is very near and who cares about you intensely. Men maybe have this idea that God is a personage, maybe a great power, but it's distant, nothing to do with them. Maybe they accept that someone has created the heavens and the earth, some great being. But God doesn't want you to think of him as someone distant, as someone who's impersonal, who thinks you're just a pawn. Great men of power in this world, they just arrange things, and they often don't think about the individuals down at the bottom. But God is concerned about you, and he knows about each one, and he knows each one by name, and he wants to bless us. And these scriptures tell us that God has a plan. That distance which sin, the Bible tells us about sin, all of sin, it says, that distance would mean that God would have to remain a distant one with whom we couldn't be acquainted. But God has a plan that we should know him himself as the God of love, God of light, that we should know his Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has a plan, and that's what Isaiah tells us about. It says that the Lord himself give you a sign. He wasn't sending an angel. He wasn't sending someone else to do the work. It says that God himself will give you a sign. That's how personal it is. We're to understand that God is interested in us, each one. And he wants us to know him in that close relationship of Father and Son. will give you a sign, and behold, the virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son and call his name Emmanuel." We've just had Christmas. Many Christmas messages concerning the babe being laid in the manger. And that's what Isaiah was referring to here when he gave this message from God himself. "He'll give you a sign. Mary will bring forth the child, and his name will be called Emmanuel," meaning God with us. And that was the way in which God was going to bring about salvation. The way in which he was going to reveal himself to you and me. So it's no longer someone impersonal, or someone who's disinterested in you, or some great power that would never notice small individuals like us. God wants you to know that he's looking at each one of us, and he cares about each one of us, and he wants us to know him as the one true God. And so he's going to remove that distance by bringing in and providing a saviour, sending Jesus. When Jesus came here, he wasn't found in palaces and important places. He was found in Bethlehem, in a manger. They didn't have room for him in the inn. There was a place in the stable, and he was laid in a manger. The lowly pathway of Jesus is a study for us. It shows us about a love that's beyond any other love. Tells us how God has drawn near to his creature. An eagle comes amongst a flock of sparrows and they'll fly away. And if God came in his full power amongst us, fall to the ground like dead men. We couldn't understand it. We couldn't take it in. We couldn't stand. But God drew near to us in the person of Jesus, a little babe laid in a manger, dependent upon his parents, Mary and Joseph, to care for him. And God's eye was upon him. And we can learn about Jesus' pathway here. How at the age of 12 he was in the temple asking questions and speaking to those who knew the Old Testament scriptures and things. And they were amazed at his understanding. And we learn about Jesus when he was about 30 years old. Being baptized by John and commencing his public service. And you can read about the wonderful things that he did. Great works of power. Lepers cured. Dead raised. Blind eyes opened. Deaf made to hear. You can go on through the list. Every condition, Jesus was able there to meet it. If they would come to him. He says, "Come to me, all ye that are laden and weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus was showing God's love for you and for me. And he came himself. He didn't send an angel. He came himself. I don't know how we realise the amazing grace and wonder of it. that God should come himself in the person of Jesus. He will come himself and save you. And the way of salvation, the way of blessing, the way by which your sins can be forgiven, we have to go to the story of Jesus, how he was falsely accused and wrongly beaten and mistreated, and he was condemned to death and taken outside Jerusalem and there crucified. He said, Sam himself he could not save. If you and I were to have our sins forgiven, Jesus had to go that way. He will come himself and save you. You may look around the world and you think it's a fearful place. So much wrong, so much evil going on, so much wars and strife, persecutions. How's it all going to end? Well, the word was, to those that are timid of heart, be strong, fear not. Why? Because God himself will come and himself and save you. And the bridge, Jesus went to the cross. They took him outside Jerusalem, Pilate wrongingly sending him away to his death. And they led Jesus outside Jerusalem, and there they crucified him between two robbers. And that was because God himself knew that you could do nothing and I could do nothing, and we are wholly dependent upon him, upon his love, upon his grace, upon his mercy. And he made that provision there by taking that judgment upon himself. Jesus hung there in those hours of darkness, and the punishment was laid upon him. The judgment that should have fallen on us as sinners fell upon Jesus' head, the one who is holy and sinless. And he knew that unless he went that way, there could be no blessing, no forgiveness, no salvation, no eternal life, no joy in heaven over repenting sinners. He remained there on the cross out of love for you, in order to meet the conditions, to lay that righteous basis for God to forgive us our sins. Nothing we can do to save ourselves, nothing we could do to merit salvation, but God is freely offering it to us, to you and to me. Galatians, it says, Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, so that he should deliver us out of the present evil world. Well, when Paul wrote that epistle, things may have seemed pretty bad, but I don't think they've got any better. If you read the papers today, you won't find they're any better. It's still the present evil world, but the word is the same. Jesus gave himself for our sins, that we might be delivered. Just saved from this world? No. Given life eternal, to spend eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's because he gave himself. Such was his care for you and for me. Such was his love that he went that way. The sufferings we cannot take in. The hands of men, they did their worst. But the Lord didn't worry about that. His sweat was a great drops of blood, because of what was going to be laid on him. He was to be made sin, And all of my sins and your sins were to be laid on him, and he was to bear them that you and I might go free. He did it himself. He didn't send anyone else. No one else indeed could do it. But he did it himself. And I would that each one might be impressed freshly by the love that's been shown to us, in that God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. We heard this afternoon of Evelyn Mutton being taken to be with the Lord. And her body will be buried in due course. And many others have passed that way too. But we have this wonderful message in Thessalonians. For those who trust in Jesus, those who accept that precious blood is able to cleanse them from every sin, we have the promise that whether we're alive or whether we've been laid in the grave, that the Lord himself will come for us. No, it's not an angel, it's the Lord himself. Such is his care for us, such is his love for us, that he's going to come himself, that we might know, might be with him. We, the living who remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall be always with the Lord. And that's the hope of the Christian. Coming in repentance to Jesus, acknowledging that we've been sinners, and casting ourselves on him, and accepting what he has done, he's able to cleanse us from our sins and make us fit for God's house. And that final scripture in Revelation. He shall tabernacle with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, their God, all distance removed, and to be forever with the Lord. That's the wonderful promise before us. Not to be a distant hope. It's not to be thought that God is distant and not interested in us. He loves each one of us. And that's why he sent Jesus, to make atonement for sin. And he cares about us so much that he wants us to be with him throughout eternity. And God himself shall be with them, their God. Not going and coming away again, just occasional visit. No, God himself will be with us, all those who belong to Jesus, in his presence. And so I just wanted to bring before us afresh that God himself cares about us. And he's displayed that love and that interest in each one of us in sending Jesus, his son, to make him known. And so today we can speak of a way of salvation, a way of blessing, and a way of being forever with God. And he wants each one of us to know him as Saviour, a Saviour God, and to spend eternity with him. May each one of us be conscious of God's love towards us and the wonderful blessings that he hasn't delegated things to others. He's come himself, and he wants us to be with himself forever. As we could